Hi, it's your girl, Danny Parks. Listen, if you are having any type of suicidal thoughts, if you're having any type of mental health crisis, I want you to dial the new suicide hotline, 988. That's right. It's only three numbers and it's 988. You can call this or text it to be connected to a crisis counselor where they can help you through your situation in that moment. Once again, that number is 988, and that's it. All right, I'll see y'all later.
Kesme,
she's a queen.
This is dedicated to all my beautiful queens, all my beautiful ladies out there.
She's a queen.
So thank you guys for joining another episode of The Key Chat. Today, my special guest is Ms. Shaquin Thomas. She is the owner of Soul to Table Catering Services located in McDonald, Georgia. She also has a line of seasoning blends, and also she's the author of cookbooks. So we're going to go ahead and talk to her about her mission with food and Soul to Table. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing good. So first off, tell us about how you started Soul to Table. I know you're also a private chef. Did you always have a love for cooking?
Actually, I did not always have a love for cooking. I think it kind of started when I was working in the office setting and you have company potlucks, and I started to, you know, bring in different dishes, and my coworkers were like, oh, this is good. You should, you know, sell this to us, or, you know, maybe you sell this on the side. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it wasn't something that went to school for anything. It just kind of happened. I just cooked stuff and it was good. So that's kind of how it started.
Oh, wow. So you didn't go to culinary school or anything?
I did not.
Business for what, about 6 years?
Yes, about 6 years. Yep, exactly.
Okay. So what was that transition from, you know, people admiring your cooking to saying, okay, I'm going to go full speed ahead with this? Like I said, now you have the seasoning blends, the cookbooks, private chef. So take us from how you actually decided to do it, and like, what was the journey? What were the challenges? How long did it take?
So after, like, you know, because I cooked for the house. And so after my coworkers started liking my food, I said, okay, maybe I'm going to try this thing. So I would just make these dishes and post them on social media, and I'd advertise, hey, anybody looking for a caterer? So people would do food tastings, and they started to book me. So, that's kind of how it started. So I was still working in corporate America, but I would do these weddings and different events on the side. So that's how it started. So I said, okay, maybe one day I'll have my leap of faith and I'll try to get out there and do it full time. But right now, you know, this is my this is my comfort zone. So that was 2016. And in 2017, my dad became sick. And so he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And I took a leave of absence and I said, okay, I'm going to take care of my dad, you know, right now. And my job, about 10 days into my leave of absence, they called me to say, hey, we're just wondering if you're coming back to work. And I'm like, well, I can't come back. I'm taking care of my dad. Nobody else can do it. I'm only child. And they said, okay, we respect what you're doing, but if your dad passes, you know, you're welcome to reapply. And I was like, oh. And at that moment, I mean, because I'm taking care of him, I guess it didn't dawn on me. I'm like, whatever, bump the job, it's fine. I'll figure it out later. And 10 days later, my dad passed away. And so the day that he passed, I was actually in the kitchen cooking for like a 200-person wedding. Had a wedding that morning. And he started to transition about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm in the kitchen. I called the hospice. I said, hey, I think he's transitioned. They said, hey, it could take a couple hours, could take a couple days. We're not sure, but the hearing is the last thing to go. So I said, okay. So in between, I'm in my kitchen, whipping up peach cobbler macaroni and cheese and going to the living room kissing my dad. And this lasted for about 4 hours and he finally passed. And so in that time, that 4 hour span, like I didn't buckle, I didn't like break down, I couldn't cry, because I mean, it's like I had this event I had to do. So that's, I think, where my strength comes from. So at that time, what I did, I said, okay, I'm gonna get this out the door. I realized my dad had health insurance, but I didn't realize he was not fully covered. You had to be in the health and the life insurance for a total of 2 years before it would really cover you. You got to read the fine print. And he was 2 months shy of that. So I spent all my savings taking care of funeral costs. And then I was like, okay, did all that. What am I going to do next? Because I was at zero. And I used to go to this thrift store and this lady was like, hey, I know you used to kind of cater on the side. Maybe you want to sell us some lunch plates or something until you figure it out. I said, okay, I guess I could do some plates. That's cool. So I took them some food and I posted it on Facebook and people started, hey, can we get some plates? Can we get some plates? And it took off and I haven't had to work since then. It just grew, like boomed overnight. And before, my dad would help me with my catering events. And so I feel like he gave his soul for my business to thrive. So that's why I named the business Soul to Table. So that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's such an inspiring story. And just also what you mentioned about your job, it just goes to show what so many people deal with. Like, your job loves you until your life sets in, and then like it shows how you're just like another number. And it's just really sad, you know, just so many people have experienced like heartless things like that from their employers or their past jobs, you know, so similar, which is really sad. Which is the great migration that's taking place now too. So what have been any challenges maybe that you faced since being an entrepreneur? Like, how has it been? How has the experience been? So like I said, that story is really inspiring.
Thank you. And so there's different challenges. I mean, because it's like I got thrown into being a business owner like immediately. So I had to learn, you know, I had to be the accountant. I had to buy the food, cook the food, deliver the food. I was everything in one, you know what I mean? So it was like a trial and an error type thing. When I first started out, you know, I'd be delivering to different schools and stuff. I delivered to barbershops too. And I used to deliver from like 10 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at night. And like, I had no, like, I didn't have any kind of like a structure. I thought, okay, cool, I'll deliver if they want me to stop. And I had to, you know, as a business owner, you have to have time because you will get burnout quick or whatever. So I had to learn, hey, these are my business hours. I don't deliver after this time, that kind of thing. It's a learning experience. You got to figure out who your target audience is also, because that's how you stay in business. You know what I mean? You figure out, hey, it's going to be the teachers. It's going to be the doctor's offices. Is it going to be the beauticians? You know what I mean? You have to figure out what's going to be consistent. That's how, you know, because you don't have a steady paycheck. You know, your consistent customers is your steady paycheck. You know what I mean? So those are just challenges I face. And then me coming on the scene so swiftly, I didn't realize, I didn't know about other catering companies locally, but because I came on the scene just like that, people were using me and, you know, you just word of mouth. And it caused a lot of jealousy in the small town that I'm from. And it's terrible. I feel like we all should be able to just, you know, coincide. You know, one day you want Burger King, one day you want McDonald's. That's just what it is, you know. And unfortunately, I dealt with a lot of hate for about a year or so. And sometimes here and now I do. And it's sad, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's honestly, it's so typical what you said. I think everybody experiences that, you know. And I think sometimes when you step out on faith and then it works out, it literally offends people who don't have that same amount of drive, you know, or they just literally, I just think they can't comprehend it. You know, and it just comes off sometimes as hate or jealousy, because they really just, they can't comprehend it. You know, the entrepreneurship journey is something that only other entrepreneurs, we speak the same language. So people that don't know the rock like that, they don't comprehend it. So
You're right.
Yeah, I just think a lot of people just, you know, they just experience that, which is sad. So with the cooking, I want to talk about, what are some of your favorite dishes to cook? What's your typical menu? Like, what do you normally like to serve?
So of course I'm in the South. So I do a lot of fried chicken and macaroni and cheese or whatever. That's very popular. Another thing that's popular, you know, it's hot Atlanta, so it's hot all the time. Chicken salad. That sounds so... Oh, that sounds so normal, but you can do so many different things with chicken salad. I mean, I put grapes in them and I have different recipes that calls for jalapenos with them that I've created just to make, because I know there's a restaurant, it's called Chicken Salad Chick. So I guess it's similar, but I mean, before I had heard of that, but I had just started doing these different you know, dishes and people are, you know, it's hot, they're ordering chicken salad and pasta salad on a regular basis, you know, nobody ever thinks about having a fried green tomato sandwich topped with chicken salad, you know, that's, right. You know, with any business, you have to always come up, you know, it's like, what's the new thing? Because, you know, things are constantly trending, you know what I mean? So you have to always be on that cusp. Okay, what's the next big thing? You got to keep on, as a content, you got to keep on creating content, you know what I mean? So, yeah, always trying something different.
What's your menu, and what's your favorite thing to cook? Like, your favorite dessert? Like, because I'm in the South, too, so I know there's certain things, you know, that we tend to eat down here. What would be, like, your favorite dessert? And
I would say Crown Royal Peach has been a very popular thing, so you can do a lot with it. I like to cook Crown Royal Peach hot wings and Crown Royal Peach cobbler. So people kind of, it was a new thing, you know, to try, and Crown Royal Peach meatballs, people really liked it. And those, I really like to have fun with those different, you know, the alcohol and, you know, the brown sugar and stuff like that. You can do so many different things with it. So I do enjoy making those type dishes or whatever.
Okay. So you have, what's your menu? Do you have like a healthy, like alternative menu or like vegan?
I have a mixture, just depending on my client, you know, what the client wants. I do keto meals. I do meal prep as well. Keto is very, very popular for people that are trying to lose weight or just not, you know, doing carbs and that kind of thing. Cauliflower rice is a very popular thing. So I do a lot of cauliflower rice. People don't realize that you can substitute, you know, cauliflowers for your rice. So you make it taste like rice. You can do broccoli casserole with cauliflower rice. So you just stuff the bell peppers with it and stuff like that. I do vegan options as well, like vegan cookies and vegan dressings. The thing about vegan, people don't realize it's a... vegan it's a new thing, it's new, so there's different things that we're learning. You know, every grocery store now has the vegan section and stuff, and people don't realize that a lot of people nowadays have allergies, and gluten is the biggest thing. That's why they turn vegan, because of the gluten allergy or whatever. So that's been because I didn't go to culinary school. It's something like, I kind of sometimes feel like I'm in school. So I'm having to learn the different things and techniques, how to make the homemade dressing for vegans, you know, because they can't have the gluten in it and stuff like that. So it's an ever-changing thing for me. I'm constantly learning.
Right. Does it seem like it's maybe like a phase, a craze? I know like sometimes people just kind of hop on the bandwagon, because I mean, vegetarianism and veganism has been out for a long time. But right now, like I tried it, I couldn't do it for medical reasons. Like I couldn't stick with it, but you know, I'm just curious, like, does it seem like it's just maybe slightly trendy from the food industry perspective?
I do kind of feel like it's a trend that it'll eventually die out. You know what I mean? I kind of feel that way with just most things, you know, it'll be popular one minute, then the next, something the next thing. It kind of feels like a trend. I think for people that do it for health reasons, maybe they will still be, you know, health conscious, but I don't think that it's in it for the longevity. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. Yeah. But while it's hot, it's the thing about it with anything, while it's hot, you have to jump on that thing and, you know, you do it real fast. You know what I'm saying? You have to jump on it while it's hot.
Right. So I want to hear more about your cookbooks and your spices. So once you started Soul to Table, how long did it take you to start authoring your cookbooks and also selling your spices? Your seasoning blend.
When the pandemic hit, you know, we had to figure it out because people were canceling catering events. I wasn't going to people's home to be a private chef. So I was like, okay, hey, we got to have some kind of income. What are we going to do? And I was like, you know, I did say I wanted to write a cookbook. So let me take this downtime so I can have some income. And that's pretty much what happened with the cookbook or whatever. And the spices as well, because during that time, we were looking at TikTok and, you know, we're all at home. Like, okay, people are clicking. I said, okay, I can create some spices and ship them since we're not going anywhere. And that's exactly what happened, or whatever the case may be. So the first the first spice that I created was an all-purpose blend because I wanted it to be, hey, you want to be able to cook, put it on everything or whatever the case may be. So I created an all-purpose blend and I marketed it on social media and I started shipping it. And so, you know, it took off like that. And the cookbook also, I created a soup cookbook. That was the first one, Soul to Table Soup. And I was like, can I write a cookbook? So it's very small. And so I just started creating recipes and I put it on Amazon and it took off. I said, okay, maybe I can do a second one. And that's how the second book was birthed. So the pandemic was definitely my baby. I was like, okay, hey, let me make something happen this time.
What is like some of the most enjoyable things that has occurred for you since you know, like I said, you stepped out on faith and you became an entrepreneur? And not only did you become an entrepreneur, but you're able to do something that you really enjoy. What has been some of your most standout, memorable moments in this journey?
So in this journey, I wanted to give back. So that's something that's always been on my heart because my father was somebody that would give his shirt out the back for anybody. So I wanted to kind of incorporate that. And I had the opportunity one day, somebody just reached out to me and said, hey, we have a lady that has stage 4 lung cancer, just like my dad. And they said she doesn't have money, but we want to give her a wedding. And so because it touched my heart, I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to cater the wedding for free. You know, I'm going to do that. And that was probably, I guess, a stepping stone in my business. I ended up catering the wedding. I was in Atlanta and I catered the wedding and the news channel actually happened to be there. So they were interviewing people like, hey, the caterer, we're here. You're doing this for free. Why'd you do it? And so that kind of catapulted my career and it just brought so much more business because like, hey, she's giving back. She did this for free. And I had just started out, you know what I mean? And yeah, that was definitely a milestone in my career. So after that, I wanted to make it a habit to always give back to just different organizations and people. So I started to serve the homeless and the police officers in my community, like once a month, you know, if I had extra plates or whatever, I'd say, hey, we're going to be at this location and I'm going to actually serve the food to you guys for free. Police officers, veterans, and people that they're in the community that didn't have food. So this started and it continued pretty much until COVID hit. And that's when things kind of, you know, changed or whatever. But yeah.
Wow, that is really nice. So I want to ask you another question. So obviously right now, finances are tight, gas prices are high. What are some alternatives to, I think sometimes people have challenges in eating healthy because ironically, healthy food seems to cost more. So are there any ways you think people, any suggestions on eating healthy on a budget? And the second portion is also eating just nice gourmet friendly foods on a budget. Like, is it possible to eat friendly, health friendly on a budget or eat nice budget gourmet meals? Do you have any suggestions and tips on how to shop smarter?
That's a very loaded question. Everything, you know, gas prices and grocery prices, food costs have went up just dramatically. I would say that it can be done on a budget. You're just going to have to do, you know, your meats, very simple meats, just, you know, chicken. I wouldn't suggest steak or anything like that. Your vegetables, you know, you go into the market and just, you know, choose it. You know, you choose your fresh vegetables, you know, you just your collard greens or maybe some zucchini, something like that. You pay for convenience. So say you buy a bag of zucchini. It's easy because you can put it in the microwave and put it on, you know, whatever the minute, but it's like $5 opposed to you buying one zucchini and it's, I don't know, 99 cents, and you can chop it up for sale. You know what I mean? So that's a tip that I would say, hey, instead of your bag of zucchini, just buy a zucchini yourself and just dice it like so. That's something I would say that's different. And people do buy fully cooked chicken. Fully cooked chicken is much more than regular chicken. You know what I'm saying? I say that frozen chicken is cheaper than fresh chicken as well. That's what I have noticed. You can go in the freezer section and buy frozen chicken breasts or chicken thighs opposed to the fresh, and you get more for your money. So those are different things you can do to try to, you know, on a budget. Now gourmet, that's another topic. It depends on what your definition for gourmet is. Lamb chops are not the most cost-friendly thing right now. The gourmet on a budget, most simple thing I would say would be broccoli and salmon. hey, this is our little gourmet meal that we're going to have. That's very simple. You know, you bake your salmon and you have some, you know, steamed broccoli on the side, and that's gourmet current with today's current prices. Yeah.
What are some things that you think just every person that loves to cook or who's responsible for making meals regularly in their home should have in their pantry? Because I noticed, like, for example, when I had COVID, once I was recovering and I was somewhat well enough to go in the kitchen, but I'm like, I definitely don't feel like grocery shopping. You know, I was like, let me actually open my pantry door and see what's in it. And I was like, okay, I actually have stuff in here that can sell. So are there some things that are just like must-haves to have in your pantry and also in your freezer?
Yes, definitely. You always need to have rice. Always have rice, some form of pasta, you know, spaghetti noodles or elbow macaroni. You want to always have a jar of a marinara or pasta sauce, because those are quick, easy meals, you know, just in your cabinet. Flour. Make sure you have flour. Those are the non-perishable items that I will always keep on hand. Flour, cooking oil. Like, I guess sometimes people call me a grocery hoarder, because every time I go to the store, I make sure these are my staples. We're going to buy a box of pasta, a box of rice to always have on hand, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Just buy those staple things, because you can just whip something up real quick, you know, because you're like, dang, nothing to eat in here. Yes, it is. Let's open up a bag of rice, cook some rice, make sure you have chicken in the freezer, ground beef. You know what I mean? I always say, if you eat beef, ground beef or ground turkey, and you can make a meal out of that. You can make, and, you know, I think it goes back to what grandma used to say, you know, make sure you have some potatoes. You know, always keep some potatoes at home, because you can make some mashed potatoes, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah, those are just staples always. Always keep eggs, because, you know, one day one of my neighbors knocked on the door. Hey, can I borrow 2 eggs? And I'm like, back in the day, they would say, hey, you got a cup of sugar, I can borrow. See, but those are things you always want to keep on hand, you know, if you don't feel like getting out of your sick and stuff. So, yeah.
Right. So, let's say you had to whip up a nice meal for someone with not much time, but you wanted to do something nice and impressive. Or let's say someone you know said, hey, they called you up and say, look, I need to make a big meal. I need to impress, like, maybe my date or my coworker or something. I only have about a few hours. Like, what would be the menu suggestion that you would have for someone that they may not be like the best cook in the world, but something that maybe the average person could whip up to impress someone? Like, what would be like the go-to surefire menu you would suggest to them?
The easiest go-to menu is going to be salmon. You can't really mess that up. A baked potato, because you can put that in the microwave for however many minutes. Yeah. Because some people can mess up broccoli. They can cook it too long and make it mush or not enough. So the easiest thing I would say, hey, here's a salmon recipe and baked potato. And I do a glazed salmon, and it's very simple. Like, just, you know, you have honey, brown sugar, and soy sauce. Just mix it up, and that'll be your glaze for your salmon. It's very simple. You know, cannot mess it up. So, yeah. That's what I always say. Hey, do salmon, baked potato, easy. Yeah.
So with your journey as being an entrepreneur, what advice would you have for some upcoming people who, you know, they may not necessarily want to be a cook, but they want to follow and do something that they love and enjoy and do it full time, but they may have some reservations or some fears. What advice would you have for some other entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs?
I would definitely say whatever their passion is, that's, you know, like, say, for instance, you're not a cook, but you see that, oh, she started this cooking business, I want to do it too, but cooking's not your passion. It's going to be very easy for you to quit, because it's not what you like to do. It's not what you enjoy to do. But when something is your passion, you know, it's a different, whole different ball game. You make sure whatever you're choosing to do is your passion, and you have to be consistent. You know what I mean? It's not like a 9-to-5, you know, we go to work with a 9-to-5, we work from 9-to-5, that's it. Being an entrepreneur, you know, we don't have regular hours. So you have to be able to be up late night trying to create, you know, content or answer customer emails and that kind of thing. You have to be disciplined. You have to learn how to pay yourself. I mean, being an entrepreneur, it's not for the weak. Let's just say that, because you know, you'll have some days, oh, I made $30. Next thing, we make $3,000, you know what I mean? So it's an up and down thing, you know, you have to be able to stick with it, you know, because some people, you know, I know that I've had businesses and they just go out of business and they quit, you know. I have 3 kids. That wasn't an option for me. I could not quit. It's like, okay, hey, I got to figure it out. You know, I got to work 7 days. That's what I have to do, you know? Because the thing about it is, if you have people that have a 9-to-5 and then they start their business too, it's easy to quit because they can fall back on that 9-to-5, you know? But once you don't have that 9-to-5, it'll make you go a little bit harder. So I would just say you have to be consistent and it has to be something that you love so you don't quit.
Mm-hmm. And I know you just kids. I have 3 kids as well. How has it been balancing, you know, your personal life, being a mother, as well as your business? Because it's obviously really busy. So how have you balanced? What are some tips maybe for balancing both?
When I first started out, it was hard because, I mean, I had to, you know, whatever events I had, whatever time it was, I had to take it, you know. And as business grew, I had to set boundaries and business hours for myself. My kids get out of school at 2:30. So whatever I do, I have to be done by that time, because after that, that's their time. You know what I mean? And then they go to bed at 8:30. After that, I can start back up between 2:30 and 8:30. You know, that's their time for me to do whatever with them. And then, you know, I pick back up. So that's what I mean by saying entrepreneurs have, you know, different schedules than everybody else. So you have to be able to that work-life balance, you know, being a mom and stuff, you have to be able to balance it out. But on the flip side, you know, I remember working a 9-to-5, having to ask my boss, hey, can I go eat lunch with my kid? Can I take my kid to the doctor? You know, sometimes they say, no, you don't have nobody, you know what I mean? And entrepreneur, you can go when you want to. You can sit there, you don't have to look at the calendar. Can I take this day off? No, hey, this date is fine. It's, you know what I'm saying? So that's definitely a difference. Yeah.
Oh, I can definitely speak from experience. I was a single mother with 3 kids working a very busy 9-to-5, and it was not the best experience having to ask someone, can you go mother your children? You know, it's like, it's ridiculous.
And then we get mad because what if the kids get sick? One gets sick this week, this one gets sick, that and right here, like, that kid's sick. And you feel bad because you're like, okay, I gotta go ask them if I can get off. This kid's, you know, you what daycare calls. And I'm like, I don't miss that.
Right. So lastly, a question I do want to ask you. So with the Key Chat, the platform, we always talk about self-love. Self-love is the fuel on just how you're able to step out on faith and have your business and also pour into others, just having that confidence and the belief in yourself. So how do you define self-love, and what role has self-love played in your life and also in your business?
I wholeheartedly believe that If you don't love yourself, nothing will ever, you'll always find fault with everything. You know what I mean? Once you get to a point where you love yourself unapologetically, everything kind of rolls off my back now. Like, I don't get upset about things. I mean, because, hey, it's fine. You know, it's out of my control. There's traffic. This person canceled our, this bill is this much. Hey, it's fine. It's going to be okay. You know, I know that whatever stumbling blocks or whatever things come my way, I'm able to handle them. And I give myself time. I don't put too much pressure on myself. I know who I am and I know what I'm capable of. And I think it came from a place of, when I first started out, you know, I was working by myself, then I eventually started to hire help. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you can only depend on you because, you know, you hire other people. Oh, I don't feel good. I can't come in today. You know, I can't call out and say I don't feel good. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I would take the time to just reflect, okay, how can I do these things myself and also be able to, you know, be an understanding person, because coming from corporate America, if you have male bosses, they didn't understand single mothers and that kind of thing. It took me taking some time out to, after I went through it and I had these employees that would say, hey, I got this going on. It led me to be an understanding employer and because I loved where I am in life, I began to love on them. So love is the, at the end of the day, self-love helps you to love others. You know what I mean? And it helps you to pour into others, because if you don't love yourself, you can't pour into someone what you don't have. You know what I mean? You have to have it in you to pour it out. If that makes sense. It kind of sounds like I went around. I was trying to bring it back in, but self-love, you have to have love within yourself to be able to pour it out around everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. So tell us what's next for Soul to Table. What should we be looking out for?
Soul to Table is actually coming up with a new cookbook soon. So it's going to be like the recipe Bible or whatever. It's going to have so many recipes, a real cookbook with different stories and that kind of thing. And we're going to be doing a cooking show soon too. So that's the next thing. I say that I'm so non-tech savvy. And so sometimes we get in our own way. You know what I'm saying? Because that's something that I should have been doing. People are like, hey, you should post videos cooking. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to hold the phone and cook this and be personable. You know, it's a lot, and I don't know how to edit videos and that kind of thing. So, you know, that is next on the table, because people are reaching out to me, hey, let's do a cooking show, let's get the content, you know. So, you know, it's gonna take me, okay, I can do this. That is next on the agenda. So be looking out for more to come with cooking with Soul to Table.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I really do think you have a very inspirational story. It is great how you were able to take what happened with your father and how your job treated you poorly, but it was what you needed to live your dream. So you definitely are living up to the whole Soul to Table title. So tell everyone find you, how they connect with you on social media, give them all your information, also how they can purchase your books and seasonings. Spices.
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at Soul to Table Catering and Facebook as well, Soul to Table Catering. The website is soultotablecatering.com, and the cookbook is actually on the website. It's on Amazon as well. Cooking with Soul to Table and Soul to Table Soup. And there's also different paraphernalia. I have pot holders and candle holders, different kitchen paraphernalia, whatever, that you can buy, sweatshirts and hats and all that kind of stuff too. So yeah, it's gonna be a household name one day, okay?